You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Joe, check this song out.
Okay.
That's a kind of a classic, right? It's a good hook, kind of post-punk, but kind of some poppy guitar lines, really kind of European sounding. Just kind of feels like you're back in the good old days when the Berlin Wall was up, huh?
Yeah, like a Berlin Wall. Anyway, the song, who does this song?
Well, see, that's the wild part. Yeah? Nobody knows.
Really?
All we know is that it played at least once on a German radio station. We don't even really seem to know when or even the band that played it. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, how does an entire song, professionally recorded and released, even garnering airplay, just vanish from the collective unconsciousness?
Yeah, that is weird, because typically, even if you are a one-hit wonder or even just just sort of a loosey-goosey thing, you're not going to let your artistic creation just die unheralded, are you?
Vanish altogether, like not even just a record of it, right?
If you got it actually, seriously. You wouldn't let that just be forgotten, would you?
Is pop culture's memory so short that even, the kind of crate-digging audiophiles of sites like Reddit can't figure it out, that AI can't even match it to another song?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's something stranger, like a glitch in the Matrix, or like a song from another reality.
Yeah.
So today, we're going to unspool the most mysterious song on the internet.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni, this is The Shocking Details.
Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined as always by
Vincent Caldoni.
And you probably guessed we're going to talk about a mysterious song. And let's see. First of all, I guess you want to know, how was the song found? Well, so sometime around, believed to be in 1984, a young man named Darius, last name lost to history. He's actually kept it anonymous. A smart move, I guess. But he is just hanging out and taping songs off the radio in northern Germany. And this is northern West Germany, actually, by the way. This is, again, before the fall of the wall.
That's true. That's
now,
a good
if
point.
You're, if you're a youngster, this might sound like an odd activity, but actually, I used to do this. And Vincent, you admit
it. I totally did it.
Yeah, I totally did this when I was a kid. Yeah, I would tape songs off the radio. I totally did. Because records were expensive, but recordable blank tapes were cheap. The radio was free. You know, and so, I taped a lot of stuff off the radio and the TV, for that matter. I have audio recordings of old Star Trek episodes. I mean, I don't have them anymore, but when I was young, I had some complete audios of like The Trouble with Tribbles, for example.
Oh, cool. That's really awesome. Yeah, no, I never did that, but I knew people who would do that. I knew a guy, he would tape record David Letterman and then drive around in his car listening to The Letterman Show, which is so weird to me.
Yeah, but that's the way it was back in the primitive old days, man. It was like rubbing two sticks together to make fire. You know, so it was about weird. That level, you know. But yeah, you can get your fave tunes that way for free. And Darius did what we used to do. He'd record long tapes of whole shows that had less common stuff in it, you know, the esoteric stuff, you know. And then he would dub the tracks that he liked off into shorter mixtapes with an organized format. Because you got to have a theme for your mixtapes, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. So by genre or whatever, mood. Yeah.
Right. Now, unfortunately, Darius's original tape has been lost, but what has been preserved is the mixtape that he transferred that original recording to. He called the mixtape Unknown Pleasures, which is a Joy Division song title. And the theme of the mixtape was songs that he liked but didn't have the track titles or artist information for. And that cassette, it just ended up in a shoebox somewhere.
Ha, ha, ha. Well, luckily, it didn't get thrown at by mother or tossed into the fireplace.
Nope.
And yeah, and it rested there in that box until one Lydia H, or possibly one Anton Deaver, or one person calling himself Blue Lee.
We'll spoil you on that one. They're all Lydia H.
Oh, are they all?
Okay. Those are all her internet pseudonyms.
Yeah. Okay. So Lydia, maybe that's not even a real name.
But it might not be. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. Lydia unearthed the recording and she was interested in the track, but knew nothing about it. So she digitized the recording and put a piece of it out there. And then there are interwebs in 2007. Mm-hmm. And not a lot happened at first, but eventually the song grew in popularity and any number of false leads were investigated by people. You know, that's the great thing about the internet. There's no shortage of armchair detectives out here, right?
No. And I should also mention that she did eventually put the whole song on the internet. It's available now.
Yeah. And so there's one interesting but mysterious aspect, which is a barely audible 10 kilohertz tone, or is that 10,000 kilohertz 10, tone? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That shows up really bright and clear on spectral analysis of the audio. Doesn't affect your listening, but it leaves a visible imprint on any spectrographic read out of the song.
That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aliens?
Kind of ironically, Lydia seems to have done this without Darius's knowledge. Darius himself only found out when he was browsing around music forums on the internet and came across his own recording.
I said, whoa, yeah.
Whoa, that was mine. So let's take a short break from the story and talk about actually just the song itself. I'll say that this is not really my kind of music, but you can't deny the hook. Mm-hmm. It's also kind of enigmatic, though. I mean, to me anyway, it feels like a genre offshoot from a slightly different timeline, like post-punk sensibilities. It's going to filter through this, a little bit of that trashy pop hard rock of the early 80s. And then there's the lyrics. I mean, they're garbled to say the least. No one can agree.
It's not the first song where it's kind of hard to understand what they're saying, I got to say.
No,
you know,
that's a whole rock and roll tradition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's whole debates about like what the lyrics are and what they might mean. But I think sort of in the way that songs can be like that, they feel right. You know, if you weren't paying close attention, you just assume it was like, you know, your basic rock and roll lyrical posturing type stuff. But the more you listen, then you find out it's almost impossible to understand. Mm-hmm. Should we take a crack at what the wisdom of the internet has decided it says?
Yeah. And I got to say, there's also a video out there, the set to video from Drugstore Cowboy, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually diverges a little bit from the total, you know, the consensus of the internet here. So, but, you know, still it's pretty close. And I want to say as an aside, you know, I spent literally decades. There's that one line in Rocket Man by Elton John. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think officially the lyrics are burning out my jets up here alone. And it sounded to me for years, like, I don't know, burning out my shoes up here alone or something like that. And I was like, what the hell is that? Makes no sense. You know,
I always thought that line was burning down the bridge of Avalon.
Oh, really? Oh, well,
does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I got out here alone, but I was like burning up my shoes or something like that. I don't know.
Burning my shoes, weird. Yeah.
Anyway, but otherwise a good song, but that one little phrase really just gave me trouble for a long time. So
yeah.
Screw you, Elton John. Anyway, are you going to read the lyrics here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So most folks hear something like this. Like the wind, you came running. Take the consequence of living.
Or leaving.
There's no space. Or leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Living, yeah. Running. There's no space. There's no tomorrow. There's no sense for or of communication.
Hmm. Check it in. Check it out. Or the sun will never shine. There's a long, dirty way. Although one reading of that is they're paranoid anyway. I'll go with long, dirty way. I like that better. Okay. In the subways of your mind.
Like the wind, you're going somewhere. Let a smile be your companion. There's no place. There's no sorrow in the young and restless dreamer.
Check it in, check it out, or the sun will never shine. There's a long, dirty way in the subways of your mind.
Oh, instrumental check it in, bridge. Check it out. And it just kind of goes on like that.
There's minor variations on that same basic thing. Yeah,
exactly.
And then it sort of fades away, and then boom.
Yeah, it's got to fade out. Those who look into it will swear to variations in the lyrics. Some people think they hear take it in, take it out, or bind the wind, which I actually like that as a lyric.
Bind the wind, sure.
It becomes a real Rorschach test. And there are some folks who are convinced that it is from a band from a Soviet satellite state. And those people have seen the lyrics as being somehow about secret police arresting people for what they dream about.
Oh, I don't know. That's a stretch for me.
I can't hear that. It's a cool idea for a song, though. I like that. Like secret police track you down for a dream you had. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I totally get that too. But that would make for a great song, but I'm not seeing that in these words personally.
Me neither.
But then there's this singer's accent, which I don't know. I can't really. It's a bit odd. I mean, some people think it's like a big. Of course, it's a clue. But some people people don't agree on it. Some people will swear it's a thick Scottish brogue.
Mm-hmm. I can hear that.
Some people think it's a certain kind of urban Sydney Australian dialect. And
I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't know either. To me, it sounds like a big German dude who speaks English as a second language. I mean,
he says like Ronan.
But, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with somewhere in continental Europe. It definitely has a sound to me like a German or a Polish person trying to do an English accent, which was a big thing, you know, back then. That was pretty common. But even that, I mean, that's a huge range geographically, and it doesn't really narrow it down.
Yeah, we're going to start kicking in doors. We got a lot of doors to kick in. So, damn, we better get started. Yeah.
And then even beyond that, like if I was told that like definitively we know who it was and it was a Middle Eastern singer, I'd be like, well, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. When I hear that big, deep voice, though, I think of a big hulking Viking-like dude or something. But, you know.
Who knows, man?
But then, so we have a low-fidelity recording of a radio taped off a radio, or a recording taped off a radio broadcast. And I assume the guy was just holding a mic up to the speaker, right? Or was he actually, he was actually plugged in? Okay, good.
Yeah, he actually had a pretty decent Technics. It's actually like my tape player.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the double-decker version. And so he actually had a pretty good, but you know, it's a tape of a broadcast, which had then been digitized questionably in the aughts. So
yeah, that's no wonder we can't make out the words, huh?
Right.
Not much for clarity. Yeah.
Some have speculated that the vocals and just overall the kind of fuzzy qualities actually is because it's a demo, not an actual professional song, but it's a pretty high quality demo. If that's the case.
Yeah. That's a good point. Or it could be that the singer was drunk. It's kind of like that story about Inagata DeVita. That one was like, Iron Butterfly, and the lead singer had been up drinking wine all night, and he was so smashed that he couldn't quite. It was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, but it came out in the Garden of Eden.
That's same thing as like, you know, like Louie, you know, that, you know, Louie. I mean, there are actual lyrics to that song, but the Kingsmen just never bothered to memorize them before they went into the recording studio, which is just amazing. Like, they paid to book the studio. He just couldn't remember the words.
We're here. We're going to record something, damn it. So here we go.
And that's what they did.
So
I don't really know how the song managed to blow up like it did. It really just kind of spent a long time bouncing from music forum to music forum. But by 2019, the mystery track was all over the internet. It was one of the first stories I wrote down when we were talking about forming this podcast.
Joe,
I was like, so one of the stories I'd like to cover is this. I'm gonna skip a couple of steps because there's like a long story about like how it sort of circulated. But I think a guy who deserves a lot of credit is a Brazilian internet teenager named Gabriel Vieira. And he brought it. He had been looking into it. And another guy called Johnny Me Too, I think, brought it to the attention of Justin Wang. And Justin Wang is a popular YouTuber, and he did an episode with his thoughts on it because he's a musician himself. And it's really good. I really recommend Justin Wang's YouTube video about this. And that kind of blew things up. That kind of got things popular once Justin Wang covered it.
Of course, Wang. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we all care what Wang says. But yeah, from what I can tell, and then you too, I think Wang was responsible for really, really catapulting this song into the broader consciousness.
That's what I found out about it.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. And soon publications like Rolling Stone were writing about it. And a ton more people were on the hunt for all the artists who were behind this. And so you would have thought it was been solved, right? You know, I mean, right? Yeah. With all this publicity, somebody's going to say, oh, yeah, we did that song. We were teenagers. We were drunk. Yeah. But no, engineers remastered the song to make it somewhat more presentable and just, you know, audible. And it's even available on Spotify, believe it or not. I don't know who collects the royalties on that, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that's actually, I kind of cut that for time, but that's actually very controversial. It looks like people are uploading it as their own song and Spotify is not taking it down.
Oh, really? So it's probably available on Spotify and all kinds of different places then. But even with all this, humans and even AI cannot pin this thing down. The search has only expanded, and yet it's still, you know, has found zero answers.
So Darius actually eventually, after being kind of, you know, secretive, he eventually spoke up and gave some more context around the recording and how it was made. And that answered some more questions, making this seem even more solvable than ever. He said, and this is pretty credible, that the tapes were made on this Technics tape recorder, which was backed up by spectral analysis. Audio geeks, by the way, are really into this. They're really sure they can use some kind of spectral analysis or something to solve something about this. But that does seem to back up that he was using some kind of equipment like that. And that he was almost always taping off of NDR, off of a show called Musik für junge Leute, Music for Young People, hosted by legendary Anglo-German DJ Paul Baskerville.
So Darius said. He's legendary. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Over there he is. He is up there.
Oh, I'm sure
he's a cool guy.
Yeah, no, so this solves one mystery, which is a 10K kilohertz tone. That was embedded in it. Says NDR, that's the Norddeutsches Radiofunk. NDR puts that on all their broadcasts as kind of a digital watermark, like a fingerprint. Probably precisely for guys like Darius who were recording their stuff, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, kind of a telltale. So that if you were ever to release something that was on the air and then they were like, oh, wait, no, we didn't really say that on the air, they'd be able to kind of prove it.
Yeah. And also this Paul Baskerville guy was not just some college kid on state college radio. He's actually a big figure in German rock radio and has been for like over four decades. So,
yeah.
And so you would think now, okay, so NDR, again, that's Norddeutsches Radiofunk, which is a major FM station, would have records and playlists, correct? But yes, they do. They even have a professional archivist who works there. But Paul Baskerville and the archivist so far have not been able to find any trace of this song in their records. Which supports my aliens theory, by the way.
Just it kind of does.
In 2020, a Redditor managed to get the entire playlists for Music for Young People, which is, I don't know, he managed to do that. And boy, he combed through the whole thing and found nothing.
Yeah, I think he ended up having to do something like it's basically like a FOIA in Germany. And I don't really know what he went through, but I mean, he got mountains of just lists of songs and they went through and were able to place actually, I think by now, every single song. And it's
that
not
must
on there.
Have been a job. Wow.
Yeah. No, it was like a whole thing with like Redditors taking, you know, months to go through it.
Yeah. I hope the one guy didn't do the entire job himself. Oh my God.
No, it was a whole community effort. Wow. And but that is really important. That's the thing you have to know about this is that it's not just like this song is mysterious to Caldoni or this is mysterious to a few Redditors. There are tons of people weighing in on this.
People want answers and we're going to find those answers here. You know? But yeah,
we're going to figure it out.
You're going to have to hang on for a few minutes before we solve the mystery though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then there's Gemma, I think is how you would say that. It's a little bit like RIAA. It's just a big broadcast regulatory body in Germany.
Yeah.
And just like, it's a lot like in the States. They are a little bit different in that they require a separate license to be filed for every original work played on the German airwaves. And they have done this since back to the 1930s.
Yeah.
So you would imagine it's got to be in there somewhere. And after resisting people's calls to dig through their records and see if they could find a license for this song, they eventually did. And as much as they can tell, Gemma is saying, nope, we don't have it in there.
Well, of course, they could have pulled an FBI too and just said, yeah, we look. We didn't see anything.
I think that's actually exactly what they did. They don't really want anything to do with this mystery from what I can tell.
Probably just don't give a damn. Yeah, but... I'm sorry. I guess I'm cynical, but
right. And for what it's worth, Paul Baskerville says that while some people might have kind of fudged on those rules, he sticks to the letter of the law. And if he played it, he definitely would have filed a license or done whatever he needed to do. I don't really know how all that works in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Or check the license of whoever it was gave him to him to play. Right.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But so with all that in mind, a lot of people consider this mystery solved, or at least at a dead end. I guess I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say it's solved. You don't know who recorded this song, but I guess you could say
some people think they know.
Gone down. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that in theories, I guess.
Yep, we're gonna hit the theory section.
I'm not convinced that those people that think they know actually know. But
hey. I'm with you. But we're gonna hear the most credible case for this, for who recorded this song, when we come back from commercials.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. But a lot of groups have been associated with this song early on. We're going to save you all a little time and say they have been vetted. And it's not groups like, say, Joy Division or Depeche Mode or The Cure or The Smiths. It certainly doesn't sound like any of those guys. But it seems ridiculous to think that. But early on, that was checked into.
And then there's a number of kind of lower tier acts from that era that were investigated, and none of them really panned out.
Yeah. It's if it was simply an unreleased track from some famous group, it really would be pretty easy to identify. I mean, maybe not to me, but there's a lot of people out there who are much, much more audiophiles who would definitely be able to say, oh, that's the drummer from Bobby and the Butt Cracks, so it's got to be, yeah, okay, there you go, right on. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So to my ears, it doesn't sound anything like any of those groups that we've talked about.
No, and most of those groups that people have put forward are English.
Yeah.
This band could be from England, that's possible, but I don't think the guy sounds like an Englishman to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah.
So in the last couple of years, there's actually been a major clue that has been that has developed.
Ooh.
The song uses a very specific kind of synthesizer called a Yamaha DX7. Now, if you're not a pop music historian, I'm sure that doesn't mean a dang thing to you.
Doesn't mean a lot to me, to be honest with you. But yeah, but I'll trust the experts in this case.
The DX7 was the first stereophonic synthesizer mass released, and it really actually changed the sound of pop music in the early 80s. You probably could actually, if you were to, even without knowing about this stuff, you could probably kind of almost tell like that the way that synthesizers were used from sort of the mid to late 80s is a little different than, say, the first couple years of the 80s, because they were much more basic synthesizers. Mm-hmm. That their prevalence became a lot more. When you think of like that 80s synth sound, you're actually probably thinking of the DX7 itself.
Oh, cool. Thank you, Yamaha.
Yeah, thanks, Yamaha. So that the song was using a DX7 means it was recorded after around mid-1983.
When the DX7 came out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if we know that it was broadcast by the end of 1984, that really restricts the range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's.
It narrows it down a lot.
That's okay. So, yeah, there's another development in 2021, a mere 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Someone, I'm not sure who, unearthed a little record by the Greek band Statues in Motion.
Yeah.
And the singer for Statues, S-I-M, doesn't sound all, and I'll be darned if the singer for Statues, S-I-M, doesn't sound a whole hell of a lot like the person singing on our mysterious mystery track.
He really does.
Yeah,
in fact,
really.
I'll play a little Statues in Motion right now just for people to get a flavor of it.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. I mean, that's downright uncanny, don't you think? That's the guy. That's got to be the singer.
That has got to be the guy. Okay. Well, mystery solved.
Statues in Motion must have recorded the most mysterious song on the internet. There we go.
Of course.
And for many, that's the end of the story. So, Statues in Motion recorded it. But I'm really not convinced. And I'll tell you why.
Okay. Statues, tell me why.
Statues in Motion only put out one record. The band's singer went by the name Alvin Dean. His real name was Georgios Dalambiras. And he grew up in a Greek.
Alvin Dean. Yeah.
Members of Statues in Motion picked really English sounding names. Alvin Dean grew up in a Greek family in Australia, and then he later moved to Athens in his teens and played in the Athens music scene. The songs are usually written by lead guitarist Billy Knight, obviously not his real name.
Yeah.
The record itself was actually kind of a fluke. They weren't really a band the way we normally think of bands. They all had come from different groups playing post-punk and new wave around Athens right there at the dawn of the 80s. They assembled with the specific intent of being a sort of a kind of like a super group, recording this record and storming the charts with their blend of new wave and krautrock. But their self-titled record from 1982, it was a bit of a bomb, and the band broke up shortly after its release. I don't even know if they ever even toured.
Mm-hmm. So that does present a problem, in terms of our timing with the old DX7, et cetera, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so they were long gone by the time the DX7 was released, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But not also, only that, but...
Well, yeah, but, and besides the DX7 issue, our mysterious song is a rock song, and Statues of Motion was not really a rock group. I mean, nothing on their one record has this kind of powered up guitar hooks that our song has got.
Yeah.
And also every track on their record is driven by drum machines.
Yeah.
Whereas our song actually had a drummer, a real drummer.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. No, definitely. Okay. So that's another clue. So that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's makes it look bad. I think we can say that Alvin Dean is still a good candidate. And in fact, Alvin Dean had another group called Homicide.
Oh, good.
It was a little more. Yeah, it's a good name for a band. A little more guitar and drums driven. But Homicide broke up before Statues in Motion ever even formed.
Maybe they got back together for a reunion tour?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's possible.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it was like another group that Alvin Dean formed, and this was maybe like just a demo track.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds right. So that could be an explanation. But and this is where it starts getting, to me, really strange. So let's talk about Billy Knight for a second.
Yeah, I remember Billy Knight was the lead guitarist. Not his real name, of course. A Greek guy, probably, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So he was the lead guitarist for Statues in Motion and their songwriter, correct? And so he claimed that actually it was Statues in Motion that recorded that song, and that he was the one who wrote it and even played the synth on it.
Mm-hmm.
Although at the same time, I guess I understand I'd never met Billy. In fact, I know zip about Billy, except that I've heard that he's a cantankerous old guy who has had issues with drug abuse and other career issues for decades. And so that might cast a bit of a pall over his credibility, I guess. His claims also don't make a lot of sense.
No.
Because he says it was recorded with the Yamaha CX-7, not the DX.
Mm-hmm. As a predecessor.
Yeah, exactly. But the audio geeks say that that is basically impossible because that's the CX-7 was monophonic. So,
right.
And yeah, this was not a monophonic song. Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Billy's story frequently changes, such as he claims that there was room on the record for this mystery track.
There was no room on the record, I should say.
Yeah. Apparently, I haven't seen the record, but I'm told that if you just look at the record, you can tell that
you turn it over. Side B has space.
Oh, it does.
So what Billy's saying is that the reason the song wasn't included on that Statues in Motion record, the self-titled record from 1982, is because they just ran out of space and they decided to cut the the Wind song. If you get that record and pull it out of its sleeve, you don't even have to play the thing to see that side B has space left over. They could have put probably three more songs on there, and they just didn't have the songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Been caught in, and that's just one example. He's been caught in lies many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, in our song, by the way, it's not a very long song. It's like about 3 minutes, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. They had room on the record. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it gets even weirder, Joe.
Yeah.
Alvin Dean is missing.
Mm-hmm.
No one can find him. He's a kind of a missing person. The last anyone knew of him, well, and I should say this comes from music forums. This is nothing official. He was said to have been living in Turkey. He'd been out of the music business and nursing a pretty severe heroin habit. Again, this is just rumors on the internet. He's just not been there. And the band even tried to track him down for a re-release and remaster of Statues in Motion's record. And they failed. They presumed him dead. And they even dedicated the re-release to him in a way, you know, the wording's a little funny, but implying that they thought that he had died.
Well, maybe and with he all did. This, he was a heroin user. It's like, you know, and.
Yeah, but you think his family in Australia or Greece would look for him? But near as I can tell, no one on the internet and people are looking can find any trace of him.
Mm-hmm. So Alvin's gone, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, of course, you know, there's besides Alvin and Statues, there's another popular theory, which was that it was an Eastern Bloc band that had to record underground due to the fact that up until Glasnost, and then, of course, the fall of the Berlin Wall and all that stuff, rock music was frowned upon, it's one of those dealios. You could probably get away with it, but it was kind of sort of illegal, and definitely if you got their attention in other respects, then membership in a rock band was certainly enough to seal the deal to get you carted off to, you know, jail or interrogation, God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that bands from behind the Iron Curtain would often smuggle recordings to Paul Baskerville, who would play them on Music for Junge Leute.
Yeah.
So that fits right in. So, yeah. And I got to tell you, the just the style of the singer kind of makes me think some Eastern European dude
English. That was my first thought.
Yeah.
I lived in, it was all Germany when I lived there, but it had been East Germany. And I got to listen to a lot of like music that had been made during, you know, Mao-Zeit. And I my first thought when I heard the song is like, oh, that sounds like an East German.
It would make sense for a band that was like, they're literally risking gulag time and making their music, that they would be obscure in that day and age. I mean, they had to hide. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to, that would explain why the vocals sit so low in the mix, because they are, they sound a little muddy, and that could be, it could be the low quality of the original recording off the radio too, but
they
sound a little, they do sound low in the mix. But maybe they did that on purpose because they didn't want to be, had their voices recognized by, by the KGB, Stasi, whoever,
Right.
Or by snitches who would report them.
Exactly. I know that guy's voice.
Yeah, of course.
That's Ted. Go bust him.
Exactly. But the problem with this theory is that where would a group of Eastern Europeans hiding from the secret police in the basement have gotten their hands on the newest, coolest, most expensive synthesizer in the world at that time? That was unavailable in the USSR or the Eastern Bloc.
Yep.
And definitely, maybe it was somebody with money and connections that could have gotten their hands on one. I don't know.
Yeah, I was also thinking maybe they were traveling to a friendly nation that where they could import it and they recorded it there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's possible.
You know, I don't know. It's a little weird, though, right? Like, you're not going to hear, like, Eastern Bloc countries using a DX7 in 83 or 84. Like, they just didn't have access to that kind of equipment.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering, oh, maybe it was something else, there have been, like, YouTube tests you can go watch of people playing it on the DX7. It was definitely a DX7.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, to my untrained ears, I wouldn't be able to tell.
No. Yeah. Well, but when you other hear people, it, like, yeah. One tantalizing theory that's been around since the beginning is that the whole thing, and this is crazy, this is like a wild conspiracy theory, is just a really elaborate prank. The story with the tape and all that, it's just a hoax. And then that recording, whatever it may be, isn't from where Darius and Lydia are saying that it is.
The radio?
Well, yeah, or maybe it, yeah, or that it wasn't off of, yeah, exactly.
Or not, I mean, off it, of Paul, you know, off of Paul's radio show, perhaps.
I mean, we have the records. If Paul Baskerville played it, he didn't write it down.
Yeah.
So, I think that a lot of this comes from the fact that the two of them can be kind of cagey. I think it's because they're private and they're private people and they don't want a bunch of internet weirdos calling them at all hours of the night to ask about the stupid song. That makes people suspicious of them. You know how the internet works.
Actually, when you think about it, yeah. But then there is that question, were those guys actually smart enough, technically capable enough to embed the NDR 10K kilohertz signal imprint in the recording?
So
that seems, because I mean, that's not even audible to the human ears, right?
No, not really
to the human. Yeah, it's not.
Probably two guys our age wouldn't hear it at all. I think maybe like a little kid might be able to barely detect it.
But then they've also lied perfectly and very consistently about it without tripping up at all over 15 years now.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that would argue against this theory.
A lot of commitment to a pretty dumb prank.
Yeah, I'd say it is. It really is. To a prank that's not going to make them any money. And frankly, not really taking the world by storm. You know what I'm saying?
No, they haven't profited off of this. I don't know why you'd do a thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, especially when you read the early, I mean, they're really playing the long game, right? Like the early posts that Lydia was making on Lycos.com don't sound like, oh, what is this cool lost classic? This is like, can someone help me figure out the name of this? Mm-hmm. So they sure play the long con if that's what they were doing.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that if I was going to do a long con, I'm not saying it's like totally beneath me, but I would pick something juicier, like a good locked room mystery or something like that. But
oh yeah,
that's just me.
Oh, totally.
Well, actually there's one other theory. This is a great one. And this is just your theory, or is this, you know,
just me?
Just you? Okay. Well, since it's your theory,
I wouldn't be surprised if someone else has talked about it, but this is, I just came up with this off my head.
This one is as plausible as anything else. Mm-hmm. So let's hear it. Let's hear your theory.
That there was a glitch in the Matrix.
Ooh.
So it would work something like this, right? In another reality, the band Homicide with Alvin Dean never breaks up. In 1983, they release a banger called Like the Wind, and it sees success internationally. Now, in this reality, Paul Baskerville plays it on his radio show, and somehow that broadcast crosses over into our reality, where it gets tape recorded by Darius Est, and the rest is history.
Well, that makes sense, you know, I mean, because when you think about the Matrix thing, I mean, it's basically all computer code, and certain things are just placed in certain buffers, and then, you know, and then they make their way into your mind and stuff like that. It's quite entirely possible that got placed into, it got accidentally copied over into the buffer for, you know, Universe B, which is ours. You know, that's my theory about, like, the Matrix theory about things like, for example, telepathy. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you and I are sitting around drinking tea and suddenly, you know, you hear me say, you know, D.B. Cooper was a woman, but it's only in your mind. And then right after that, I say, D.B. Cooper was a woman, you know, to you. And you're like, oh, my God, I read Joe's mind. And the fact is no, you didn't. No, you didn't. All that happened is that the Matrix accidentally, that comment was already buffered up.
It
was buffered up in my subroutine, and it accidentally gave you access to the buffer earlier than it should have. See what I'm saying? Well, and that's it. So that's why your Matrix theory makes complete sense to me.
Well, and I guess I also think about it, like, when I'm not really a huge fan of, like, the Matrix theory, right? The glitch in the Matrix, the Mandela effect, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
mainly because what people talk about is something that could be really described as, you know, a sort of a combination of one person misremembering and then the power of suggestion, right? That Mandela died and his funeral was on TV in 96 or whenever that was. And a bunch of people misremember that he actually died many, many years later. And then they go, God, I thought he actually passed away much earlier. And mm-hmm. that's what the Mandela effect is. Well, this is the inverse, right? This would be like if for some reason we had video of Nelson Mandela's 1996 funeral when we know dang well he didn't die. That's kind of what this sounds like to me. This is a song where we can even get an idea of who the singer is, but we can't figure out if and where it was released, who else played on the track, or even when or how it was broadcast, even though it seems to have played on the German radio station. There's no record of them playing it, even though the rest of their songs they played haven't really fallen into any question.
That's so what's so weird about this is like,
it shouldn't exist.
Yeah, it should not. And that does support your whole multiverse theory, your matrix theory.
Right.
Yeah. I don't blame you for entertaining a paranormal explanation for this, and nothing else makes sense.
Yeah, if I'm honest with you, Joe, I think there's probably a much more terrestrial answer.
Well, but there is actually. It's time for me to confess that I have actually been wasting your time. I've been sitting on the real answer this entire time, which is that it was me. It was my band, Billy and the Boingers. At the time, my stage name was Billy Bill, and me and the Boingers actually were hired to do this song, to write and do this song. It was supposed to be a theme song for a kid's cartoon called Captain Asscrack. Now, the captain
could, like a wind.
Yeah, he could break wind with the force of a Category 5 hurricane. That was his superpower. And he also, for really serious situations, he carried a Bic lighter, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so we recorded this. And then, listen to my singing in that. It's a roo, roo, roo. You know, doesn't that sound like the kind of theme song you'd hear on like a He-Man cartoon, you know, theme entry? Doesn't it sound like it? I mean, it does. I mean, it sounds like it does.
I'm buying it.
It certainly sounds like an action He-Man-y superhero kind of. Exactly. So anyway, that was the sound that they wanted, and that's what we gave them. We did a bang up job, in my humble opinion, but they shopped it around to the networks and basically were consistently thrown out of their ears by the whole thing. It was humiliating.
That's a real bummer.
Yeah. Anyway, so they force us to sign NDAs if we expected to get paid. So we did. That's why we've never said a peep about it ever since.
Makes sense.
We have been me and my fellow Boingers, those who didn't die of overdoses, have been following this mystery with some amusement for quite a few years now. And now I feel like I might get sued for violating the old NDA, but there it is.
Oh, okay? it was worth it to solve this mystery.
Yeah. So there you go. That was me, Captain
Boinger,
not Captain. Me and Billy and the Boingers. Yeah, we did it. But and it's really sad. I saw the whole pilot for Captain Asscrack, and I thought it was tasteless, but really quite good. Yeah.
It's ahead of its time. You know, you guys were doing Ren and Stimpy level work in the early 80s.
We were just doing South Park stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. America wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. Damn it. You know, maybe it's time to dredge that one up and bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah, the Boingers are going to be taking Cartoon Network by storm with their Captain Asscrack theme.
I know, really? I know.
It's going to be the new Rick and Morty.
So there you go. That's what it is, man. Anyway.
All right, Billy and the Boingers. I guess mystery solved.
Mystery is solved, yes. I hope
legitimately solved one.
All right. Good.
You got any other theories?
That's it. No, I have no other theories other than, I think, Bigfoot and aliens don't really fit. I did float an alien thing in there, which I really
love.
But,
I don't know why they would do it, but I do love the idea of, like, aliens using their alien AI to shoot us a song for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but, maybe there's some brainwashing capability in the whole thing. I don't know. They secretly imprinted something on our brains, or at least people in Germany. Who knows? Maybe the aliens were actually responsible for the fall of the wall.
Yeah, that's what it is. We should. I mean, I know they've done a lot of spectral analysis of it. Maybe it was made by like the Soviet Union to like brainwash people in the West with its catchy rock hook, and then it's actually got messages about Marxism in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could have had subliminal messages. Have they checked? And has anybody played it backwards, by the way?
I'm sure they have. I've actually looked at some really detailed spectral analysis people have done. I don't know what they think they're going to find. I mean, other than, I mean, I guess they found the 10,000 kilohertz signal. So,
Well, that's important, you know, so that doesn't prove, but it makes it very likely that it actually was played on that radio station.
Yeah. Well, I think they were also looking for, there's a way that FM limits the signal, which you could fake, but I think they've also looked to that to see that, like, was this really on the radio? And it looks like it was. So, you know, you got me, man.
I tend to think that, the real techs out there, the real techie types, techie geeks, probably were able to seriously, you know, do the work and figure out that this, it was indeed, like you say, played on that radio station.
Mm-hmm. It seems like.
Yeah. But then somebody went back and sanitized the records.
See, we haven't even talked about that, right? This could be a conspiracy. Maybe someone's out there trying to wipe this song from the history books. And then they went back and, you know, all the radio stations that played it, if there were any more, they just made it look like it was never there. And this one recording is what they couldn't get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it only survived because Darius kept it in a shoebox or whatever till his sister found it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I don't know. But could be. I mean, the whole question would be why. But okay, I don't know. I don't know. It's a head scratcher. It is a good. It's a good one. It's just the motivation is not quite there for me. But anyway, there's somebody out there who might know more about that conspiracy. If you do know more, then please contact us.
How awesome would it be if someone just popped up in our forum and was like, "Yep, that was me. That was my group in college."
No, it wasn't. It was Billy and the Boingers, jerk. don't even think about trying to claim credit. But okay, I guess I'm pretty much out of all theories here. You got any more?
I could keep coming up with sillier and sillier ones. So let's cut me off before I say something truly stupid. But I am excited to put this out to our audience and see what they have to say. Because now, honestly, you guys probably are going to come up with more novel theories than I've had. And I would love it if we could, even if we don't solve it necessarily, if the people who listen to this show came up with maybe a new theory for all of those crate diggers and audiophiles out there to ponder. So give us your thoughts. Get in touch with us.
And by the way, stay tuned for our outro music. We will play the song for you in its entirety.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So anyway, stay tuned to find out how to contact us via email, how to find us on social media. And which is important, I guess. And also, of course, the usual plea to leave us a really good rating and a good review wherever you download this podcast or stream this podcast from. We like that, and it helps us. Mm-hmm. So please do it.
We'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, exactly. All right, ta-ta.
The shocking details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.